Well, I'm glad God is still on the throne. I'm glad He's still answering prayer. One of the biggest neglect that the church has in our day and age is the neglect of prayer. I remember when I first started teaching Sunday school, I looked at the kids and I said, they're going to know more than I do. I said, I better have this thing worked out and I better have it studied out. But I didn't have it prayed out. And I learned that prayer, if I want to put something important in my life, it'd be prayer. There's nothing like communion with God. There's nothing like it. To get down on your knees and to know that there's a God in heaven that can answer your prayer, who bows down His ear to your prayer, and He can answer your prayer. When the times are tough, we're living in tough times. Dangerous times. Times we've never seen before. This country's in times it's never seen in times past. But we got a God in heaven that we can pray to. And He answers our prayers according to His riches and glory tonight. And I'm thankful for that. I'm ever indebted to His grace. If you have your Bible tonight, be finding the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 5. And we're going to read a few verses there. And then I'm going to turn into 2 Corinthians, chapter number 2. And I can say I've never taught a message out of 1 Corinthians 5. But God has so laid it on my heart. And I don't know in here tonight who needs it. It may just be me that needs it. But I'm glad God still speaks to His men tonight. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, I want to say this before we get started because I need to iron this out. How many of y'all believe that the Bible is true? How many of you believe that the Bible has all the answers to life? I get a good, pretty good amen out of everybody on that one. I don't know why we don't sometimes believe that the Bible will save our own lives. And I don't know why we don't believe it'll save our marriage. And why it won't save our family. And why it won't save our finances. And every question that life, and every turmoil in life that it brings up, why will we not go to the Bible to get our help from it? You see, a lot of times we go to the people that are out in the world and get a worldly answer. And we may go somewhere else and get an answer, but we got an answer right here in the Bible tonight. I'm going to read some verses tonight and get through it very quickly. And I want to move into 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. But I want to begin in 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, and verse number 1. The Bible says, "It is reported commonly there is fornication among you, and such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For verily, as absent in the body, but present in the spirit, I have judged already, as though I were present concerning him that has so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Know your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may there may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or with the extortioners, or idolaters. For them must ye needs go out of the world. But now I've written unto you that ye keep not you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, with such a one not to eat. For what I have to do would judge them also that are without. Do not ye judge them that are within, but them that are without God judges. Therefore put away from you among yourselves that wicked person." Let's pray tonight. Father, I need your help tonight, Lord. I pray, dear God, you speak to one soul in here tonight, Lord. I thank you for the Word of God, Lord. I'm glad you're on our side, Lord, and you answer prayer, Lord, and I'm glad you speak to us through your Word, Lord. I thank you for what you're going to do. Thank you for this church, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Here, I read a text that I've never done before. I never taught a message out of it. I've never preached a message out of it before. I've noticed that in the Bible that there's certain people that rise up on the page of the Bible, and then you may not see them again. I think of Nicodemus. He come up in John chapter number 3, didn't he? He said, you must be born again. And for a few chapters there, we never heard Nicodemus ever mentioned again until with the burial of Jesus. And there at the burial of Jesus, we find him there anointing the body of Jesus at his burial. This guy that I'm reading about in this text is a man that had an incestuous relationship with his father's wife. And most people believe that it was his stepmother. And there were some things that had happened. And later on, that I'll get to it later, because I want to give you my title before we go on to know where this is going, because some of you are looking at me like a calf at a new gate. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2 is a book of forgiveness. It's all about forgiveness. You see, this man disappeared off the pages of the Bible for some chapters. But we find him again, and we'll get to that in a minute. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, we'll find him rise up back up on the pages of the Bible, and there he's getting forgiveness. You see, the name of this title that I give this message tonight is to forgive or to not forgive. You see, you make it your own choice. But let me say this before I go any further, that is your Christian duty to forgive people. It is your Christian duty to forgive people. You say, why? I wonder how many of you in here tonight has Jesus ever forgiven you of anything? I stand here, the chief tonight, needing forgiveness. And it's a choice that we always make, whether we will forgive someone or not forgive someone. You see, this man, first of all, you'll see the start of unforgiveness. We'll find it here in our text in 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, the start of unforgiveness. You see, unforgiveness always starts with a hurt or an injury or something that somebody has done damage to us from. And then it's up for us to whether we will forgive that person or not forgive that person. Let me say this. Jesus would have us to forgive that person. But let me tell you what comes easy for Christ doesn't always come easy for us. Matter of fact, one of the hardest things you'll ever do, if you've ever been hurt, I'm talking about really hurt. I ain't talking about my big toe hurts tonight or somebody stepped on my toe on the way to church and now I'm good and they've hurt my feelings. I'm talking about when you've actually been hurt down to the core of your soul and there's no help but God Himself for unforgiveness. Let me tell you what, you're going to need some help from the Lord for this. The start of unforgiveness. You'll see, first of all, in the start, you'll see the report of the offense or the sin that caused damage to the other one. We know it was this man that had the relationship that he should not have had. And it was a report of that. And not only was the report, there was a reaction to it. And their reaction was from the church. They didn't put that man away from him. They didn't do anything about it. Matter of fact, in verse number 2, they said they was puffed up. And that's where we are in America tonight. Instead of praying for that person, instead of asking for forgiveness and help with that person, let me tell you what we do. We run to the next person that we see and we go to them and say, have you heard what so-and-so did? Have you heard how they fell? Have you heard what they did? So that they'll spread it. And by the time it gets to somebody else, guess what? It's 10 foot tall and bulletproof and you couldn't shoot it down with a gun. And it's damaged that person that has been reported of. And that's the reaction of the average person out in the world. But not only that, I see it happening in the church today. And I'm not talking about our church, but I'm talking about the church as a whole. The believers of God, the family of God, to where they do not practice forgiveness. Let me tell you what, America doesn't bless anymore because the church doesn't bless anymore. They had a reaction. Instead of doing what God would have them to do, they began to be puffed up and they said they didn't even mourn. And they, as a matter of fact, it's probably just like we hear on the news today, it's just another one that fell. But let me tell you what, I still believe in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Hey, I'm telling you, I still believe in that verse where he said, I'll forgive their sin and heal their land. America needs healing tonight, and we don't bless its sin. The report, the reaction, but thirdly, the requirements. Paul said that he wrote back to the church at Corinth. We all know that Corinth was the worldliest church that we ever find in the Bible. It was a fleshly church. It was a carnal church. It was a church that always followed after the world and the things of the world. And no doubt the things, and Paul was writing back, and he said there's some requirements that we're going to have to do here. And don't think Paul's strange when he said this. He said we're going to have to excommunicate this guy from the church. He said we're going to have to kick him out. He said we're going to not have to keep company from this guy. And he used to say, why would Paul write such a thing? Aren't we living in the day of grace? And we are. And I'm a grace man. You know why? Because I needed grace. I needed more grace. And not only that, I think you need a little grace yourself. And I'm glad today that we're living in the age of grace. But Paul had written back for a specific reason to this church and said, you must put this man away from you. Why? Because the church was already so worldly. And Paul would write back to him for a reason. And the reason was this. So that the whole church would not be destroyed. The church had already become ineffectual to the world outside of it. And that's where our churches are today. If we're not careful, we become ineffectual to the people that we should be reaching. And Paul was writing back to this man so that they would not become ineffectual to the people they was going to reach. Talking about the start of unforgiveness. You see, this sin that this guy, this man had committed, had come back on the church. And it was up to the church to forgive or to not forgive. And each person, it would be an individual thing in that, but it'd also be a church thing. And as they began to exercise that, and they excommunicated this guy from the church, I'm glad for what happened. You see, we'll read it in just a second. You'll see the start of unforgiveness. You see, it always starts with an offense. It always starts with that hurt. It always starts with that injury that somebody has done to us. And it's up to us, can we get over tonight? Can we go to prayer with God and say, God, can I forgive them through you? The start of unforgiveness. Not only that, you'll see, secondly, the subject of unforgiveness. You see, think about the man, how he must have felt. You see, somewhere between 1 Corinthians chapter number 5 and 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, something had happened in this man's life. And Paul had gotten word of it. You know what he did? He had repented. You see, he had done exactly what the Bible told him to do. You say, what breaks fellowship with God? Sin does. But how do you get that fellowship back? You know what it's called? Repentance. You must repent of your sins. This guy had repented. He had said he was sorry, not only to God, but he was sorry to the church. And Paul had written a letter back. Let's read some of it. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. Let's see what Paul said. Look in verse number 1. It says, but I determined this with myself that I would not come unto you in heaviness. For if I have made you sorry, who is then that maketh me glad? But the same which is made sorry by me, and I wrote the same unto you, lest when I came I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all, that my joy is in the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but you might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. But if I have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Verse 6 says, sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many. So contrariwise, you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps should a one such should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore, I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. You see, that subject that was found in 1 Corinthians, remember, I love it when people, I do a lot of studies, especially between the Old Testament and New Testament, when people rise up on the pages of the Bible, where do they come back again? Do they ever come back on the pages or not? Or do they just disappear? You see, we're all good with 1 Corinthians chapter number 5. We all would like to, there's some people that may have done something to us and we would kick them out of the church and we'd all shout amen right there. But I'm glad in this story there was a man that rose up in another page, in another later on down the in the story, that had repented of his sin, who had asked for forgiveness. And the church, it was up to them to whether they forgive him or not. It was up to them. So you see, this guy had done everything that God had wanted him to do. He had told him everything that he had wanted him to do, and he had rose up and he did it. And he repented of his sin and he made things right with God. And he was where he needed to be. And it was up to the church whether that what they would do. The start of unforgiveness, the subject of unforgiveness. But thirdly, the severity of unforgiveness. You know what Paul said? He said, sufficient to such a man, in verse number 6, is this punishment which was inflicted of many. You know what he said? He said, that was enough. He said, I've had enough with the punishment you've given this man. He's come back. He's made himself right. He said he was sorry, and now you should stop the punishment that you started on him. You see, we're all okay in 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, where things would happen, and it would separate that man, and because they executed church discipline, and not only that, it caused division and separated that man from the church. Let me tell you what, he repented and he came back. And let me say this, if we choose to not forgive someone, there's severity of that. There's a severity always in it. You know what it is? Retribution. You know what the retribution was? He already had all of his punishment that he needed. How many of you, and I'm talking about all you people that's married, got kids, have you ever had to punish your kids twice for the same thing? I'd say yes. Let me tell you what, there's some things that God has done to God, and I've been on the offender side, and God has forgiven me, and I needed forgiveness because of things that I've done, and I've had to cry out to Him. Retribution. Paul said the punishment that we've inflicted on that man was enough. It was sufficient to him. Not only that, he said, why don't you just restore him? Now, how many of you believe Paul could have been a used car salesman? I believe Paul knew just the right thing to say at the right times. Many times when you study what Paul said, you'd have to believe he could have sold an igloo to an Eskimo because he knew exactly when to say and when to insert words that would mean something to him. Look in verse number 7, talking about restoration. It says this, so that contrarywise you ought rather to what? And comfort him. The Bible says not only just to forgive him, but he said also you should comfort him. Now, how many of you believe that sometimes we forgive people, we're not so good at that comforting them? You see, Paul didn't just stop there. He said, I want you not only to forgive him, but I want you to go to him and give him assurance that you've comforted him and you have forgiven him. Because we're all good at saying we forgave somebody, but we're not okay going to him and saying, hey, brother, whatever you need, I'm here to help you. You say, how do you know that? Because there's people that you'll meet in Walmart and you'll be on the same aisle and you'll go to the other aisle and you'll say, I forgave him. But let me say this, you may have forgave him, but you didn't forget it. You're still harboring it in your heart. You still got it inside. And let me tell you what it'll do. My grandmother, when we was growing up, you know what she liked to use? She liked to use a pressure cooker. No matter what we went to at her house, any meat that we ate, she was going to put it in the pressure cooker. She didn't own no grill. All she knew what to do was to fry everything that we ever ate. And that's all she knew. But she'd always put it in a pressure cooker. And I don't know what that thing is that they put on top of it. That metal ball, some of y'all may know that's more smarter than I am, but you had to put that metal ball on top of it because that pressure built up. And as that pressure built up, that thing would release that pressure. You know why? Because if it didn't, it'd explode, wouldn't it? Let me tell you what most people in the church are today. They're just like a pressure cooker. And most of them forgot their little metal ball to put on top. And they're not letting any steam off of them. And little things is happening with unforgiveness. Little things are building up on the inside. And that pressure is getting higher and higher because of the things of the world. And the devil's using that against them. And he's using unforgiveness in their heart. And that little pressure inside them is building up. And they're not going like they're supposed to. And they're not letting it off. And they're not praying to God. And they're not reading their Bible and letting those things of the world off of them. Let me tell you what's going to happen to them. They're going to explode. They're just waiting for one person to come by and look at them the wrong way. And guess what? The old pressure cooker is going to explode. And we don't need you exploding anywhere in here. Amen. You see, we're okay with trying to forgive somebody, but we don't want to restore them. Let me say this. God knows how to bring relationships in your life, and He knows how to bring them out of your life. I want to say this tonight. God has the power to restore any relationship that's ever been on this earth. I'm not saying that He will, but He has the power to restore any relationship. I've told this story before. I'll tell it again. There was an event that me and my wife was catering at, and we didn't agree with what was happening there. So therefore, we packed up everything, and we was real close to these people, and we knowed them real well, and we packed that thing up, and God allowed that little thing to come in between us. And I'm going to tell you what, I'll be honest with you, if I saw him come in Walmart, I'd go to the opposite aisle. But you know why? Because I had unforgiveness in my heart. And I'm saying this to tell you my life story. I'm not here just to, you know, expose all my beans, but I'm here to try to help you tonight. I had that thing of unforgiveness in my heart. But I'm glad God knows how to restore relationships. And He may not bring people back in your life as close to tell you the story. Anyway, that thing went south, if you know what that means. The relationship went south. And I had that thing in my heart, but I seen the man later on. You know, we got things right. You know, and I'm saying this to say this. God may bring people in your life. He may bring them out of your life. In this story we talk about here, God was bringing this man back into the church. He was there to restore that relationship. No matter what that guy had done, He was there to restore that relationship. You see, we're good with forgiveness. Are we good with restoration? Galatians 6, chapter number 1 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in the fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." If a man's overtaken in the fault, He said, "Ye which are spiritual, go restore him." You see, we know all about forgiveness, but we don't know much about restoration. You see, when we restore people, we want to say, "I was the bigger person." Anybody ever heard that? "I was the bigger person." You know what you're really saying? You're saying, "I'm the better person." And if you're saying that, guess what? You're really not the bigger person. You're really the lesser person. You see, restoration is taking somebody that's lower than you and elevating them higher than you. You know what Jesus did on the cross? He took us, which were lowly sinners, and He elevated us up to His level. And that's what He did to restore us. You see, I was an old gut rot sinner, deserving hell, deserving all the things that God could bring against me in judgment. But God Himself took me as just a lowly sinner and raised me up and restored me. And now I'm a child of the King and heir to the throne. I'm glad tonight I'm saved. You see, we're good about forgiving people, but we're good about restoring people. The severity of it. And then lastly, I'm closing with this. You'll see the start of unforgiveness, the subject of unforgiveness, the severity of unforgiveness, but lastly, the sorrow of unforgiveness. Look in verse 7, the last part of that verse, what Paul said. He said this. He said, "Lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow." You know what he's telling that church? He said, if you don't forgive him, guess what? It's as good as kicking him out in the street and saying he'll never get any help anymore. He said he'd be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. You know what that means? It means to drown. And I think a lot of times in our churches we kick people to the side, and guess what? They're outside drowning. Whereas we could have helped them. We could have restored them. We could have forgave them. Remember the title of the message tonight is to forgive or to not forgive, and it's up to you. It's up to me. And if we don't, Paul said, if you don't forgive this man, guess what's going to happen? He's going to be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. He said it'll overcome his life. He'll not be in church. He'll get out of church. He'll go the wrong way. No doubt the man, the Bible, I believe this man was saved. Paul said he delivered his flesh up to Satan. But he said his soul will be there in the day of judgment. I'm glad today when I'm saved, I'm always saved. The sorrow of unforgiveness, the tension of it, lest he perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Then secondly, I want you to know there's an adversary that rose up on the scene there. In verse number 11, look what it said. It said, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Paul not only told him that if he didn't forgive him, if the church didn't forgive him and the people of the church didn't forgive him, that he'd be swallowed up with much sorrow. He said, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. Satan uses unforgiveness as a tool so that he can get an advantage over us. Remember that story about the pressure cooker? A lot of us today, we take all that stuff in, and Satan has got to... I want to say this, God works in freedom. Satan works in boundaries. He works in bond. He puts you in bondage. You know what sin is? It's always bondage. Satan will bring you into bondage if you don't, if you harbor that unforgiveness in your heart. I knew a man, he said this, he got married to his... All you married folks ought to be shouting amen tonight about this, for being able to forgive and unforgive. But this man said this, he said, I was married... We've been married for 43 years, and me and my wife made a vow. We said we'd never have a fight. He said, today we only have one, up to this day. He said, it started the day we got married and ain't got over with yet. Let me tell you what, no jokes aside, don't let Satan get an advantage on you. Let me tell you what, you do have a real adversary, and he uses that thing of unforgiveness. You know what he'll do? He'll split a family over unforgiveness. He'll split mother with daughter. He'll split daddy with son. He'll do it. He'll get in there. He'll split between the very saints of God with this thing of unforgiveness. Remember what I said when we started? I said one of the easiest things that God did for us was to forgive us. It's the hardest thing you'll ever do. You know why? Because of that hurt and that damage and that injury somebody has caused to us. It's always hard to forgive somebody. But you know why I say that? Because forgiveness is not a natural action. It's never a natural reaction. You know what it is? It's a supernatural action. And that's why God was able to forgive us. You know what Paul said? Look what he said in verse number 10. He said this. And I like verse number 10. It said, to whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes, what did he say? Forgave I it in the person of Christ. You know what Paul said? He said, there's some things that I can't forgive, but through Christ, I can forgive it. Forgiveness is not an emotion. It's not just in a feeling. And I'll leave you this story. I've told you this story before, but I couldn't find a better one for tonight. The story of Corrie ten Boom. Corrie ten Boom was a Jewish girl back in the days of the Holocaust with a demon-possessed Adolf Hitler. She took those Jews in her home and would hide them. In her autobiography called The Hiding Place, she gave this account of one of the things that she did. She was a missionary, and after she was released from the concentration camp down in Ravensbrück in December the 31st, 1944, she was released out of that. And as she was released out of that, she'd go around Holland and Germany, and she'd teach on forgiveness. And it was there in Holland, as a war-torn, she was moved from Holland into Germany, as a defeated Germany after World War II. She was there teaching on forgiveness. Where she got done with the message, she noticed that a man came up to her. She noticed that that man had on an overcoat. She noticed he had on a brown hat. She remembered all the blue uniform that he had on. And she remembered the hat, the little visored cap that he had on that had the skull and crossbones of it. And the man approached her and he said this. He said, "Ma'am, you don't remember me, but I was there at that camp in Ravensbrook." And she looked at that camp and all the things, and all those thoughts of all those, what those guards and did to those women. And I won't go into details there. All the beating and all the malnourishment and all the bones. And they'd even killed all of her family and killed her sister Betsy. And all she could remember is what that guy had done to her. And all she had been teaching on was all that thing about forgiveness. And that verse came to her, to her heart. In Matthew chapter number 6 said, if you can forgive your trespasses of men, if you don't forgive your trespasses of men, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you of your trespasses. There in Matthew chapter 6. She remembered that verse. And all that teaching, she had been teaching on forgiveness. Let me tell you what, those things that we thought we've forgiven, they may rise back up. But let me tell you what, it's up to you what you do, how you deal with it. And she remembered that. You see, remember what I said? I said forgiveness is not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's not a mechanical process. It's not something you can shake off. It's by faith that you are able to forgive somebody. Paul said in this chapter, he said, "I forgave it in the person of Christ." He didn't say he forgave it. He said, "I forgave it in the person of Christ." And sometimes you're going to need Christ to help. Old Corrie Ten Boom, as she saw that man, she prayed to God. She said, "Lord, how can I forgive this man for all he's done to me and my family? All the things he'd done, all her mind hit rewind and went back to all that times that she'd been out there in the cold and she'd been out there and there was no food and they had beaten on her and done all those things to her and her family and her sisters. She thought about Christ and what he had done for her and how he'd forgiven her and all the teaching. You know what she's able to do through Christ? She said she was able to reach out her hand. That man said, he'd been got saved and he come back and said, 'I was a Christian.' She thought about all that and she said, 'I forgive you in the person of Christ.'" You see, it's up to us what we'll do. Will we forgive somebody or not forgive them? You see, tonight, God wants us to forgive folks. You know why? Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 32 said this. It said, "And be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, for as God for Christ's sake have forgiven you." I'm glad tonight I stand forgiven, not for what I've done, but I stand forgiven for what Christ done for me on the old rugged cross years ago. And I may not be able to do... You say, how do you know? There might be some things I can't forgive, but I need to forgive it in the person of Christ. You say, how do you forgive people? Let me tell you what. Forgiveness is an action of faith. How many of you remember Simon Peter? He went, I think it's in Matthew 15. He said this. He said, "Lord, if a brother trespasses against me, how often shall I forgive him? Seven times?" A lot of us said seven times ought to be pretty good. If we can forgive somebody that many times, we're doing pretty good. And what did Jesus say? He said, 70 times seven. If you'll read that account in Luke chapter number 3 and verse number 5, the apostles, after he finished that statement, said this. The apostles said, "Lord, increase our faith." Let me tell you how you're going to forgive somebody. It's by faith. Reaching out to Jesus, maybe that you can't forgive them. Remember what I said? This thing of forgiveness is not a natural action, but a supernatural action. And it's going to take Christ Himself to be able to forgive some things that's happened in your life. I thank you for your attention tonight, Brother Mike.